Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 11. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I just want you to know the world in which we live is so convoluted. This past week, I was listening to a radio program about an evil that is pervasive in our world, and it's becoming more and more pervasive, and it is an evil called anti-Semitism. There are many people across America in religious circles who have adopted and embraced an attitude and a disposition of anti-Semitism. The book of Revelation is clearly a book that demonstrates for us all that God is not through with the Jewish people. It is not understood by many because people, as I can personally attest to, they learn as they go along. I've learned as I've gone along. When I first started out preaching in my early days, there were things that I would teach that I wasn't quite convinced on, but I had leaned heavily upon my commentaries and things of that nature. And frankly, I feel bad about that. I mean, this role that I play as a teacher, rudder of a ship, if you will, is very important. It weighs heavily upon me. I want to get it right, and I don't always get it right. The kids were asking this morning, talking about singing that song we sang here a little bit ago with the children's church group, and they said they were nervous. And I said, oh, you guys will do great. And I said, but I'm nervous too. They said, you're not nervous. You're up there all the time. I said, no, well, singing, you have to get it word perfect. And it occurred to me that that's true with preaching too. Somebody says, writing maketh the man exact, preaching maketh the man exact, or tries to, and I'm the kind of preacher who preach from the abundance of my heart, so sometimes I might go to the left and to the right, and I apologize for anything that I've ever said that was not what it should be. It is a daunting thought to think about what each time I stand behind the sacred desk really involves, because people need to hear it clearly as much as possible. And sadly, in our day, they're not hearing it clearly about Israel. God loves Israel. And He's got a plan for Israel, and He's got a plan for you and me. There are distinct plans. God is able to spin a lot of plates all at the same time. In fact, that is testified to by every believer who's ever come to Christ. Jesus is as personal with that individual as He is with me and with you. And the nation of Israel has a future. And in this chapter before us this morning, we're going to see a little bit of that begin to come into a clearer focus. I'm going to direct your attention to chapter 11 because we didn't quite square up that chapter. And it does dovetail into that which is before us. You may recall that the last time we were together, we were introduced to the two witnesses who would give a fit to the Antichrist for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. They would be calling sin, sin, black, black, white, white. They were saying things as it should be said in every generation. But these guys were so powerful and were accompanied by many signs and wonders. And as a result of that, they began to draw the attention of the entire world. And that would not have been possible until our generation. There's no way the entire world could look upon them after they were slain for 3.5 days and send gifts one to another for a satanic type Christmas if it weren't for the kind of day you and I live in. The entire world will look on them. They'll pull out their big flat-screen TVs, tune them in to these two dead bodies laying on the streets of Jerusalem before the temple, and everybody will be rejoicing that they had been overcome because these two people had become a vexation to the world for 3.5 years. Here they are trying to get the momentum. The Holy Spirit's been evacuated from the circumstance and the rapture as the church is taken out. Salt and light has gone almost to black. And all of a sudden, sealing of 144,000 Jewish evangelists and two witnesses take their place in Jerusalem before the temple and cry out about the things that are going on. And it's just going to be an amazing time. And we saw in chapter 11 earlier that it mentioned 1,260 days. It mentioned 42 months. It's going to mention it again in chapter 12 because this is a beginning of a period of time known as the Great Tribulation. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 9 at the end, the last verse, it says in verse 27 that in the midst of that last week of years that is going to come upon Israel, which is yet future, we're at the cusp of it, I believe, but it's yet future, that this Antichrist is going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, really, right in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And it's for this overspreading of abominations. He's going to break that covenant with Israel for their protection so that the overspreading of abominations will take place. You know what an abomination is something that is off the rails as far as God's concerned. Whenever you read in the Old Testament something that says this is an abomination, there is something very, very powerful about that word. It would be a good study for you to do. There are some things that are just not to be done in Israel under the ordinances, but some things are not to be done because they're an abomination. And abominations are things that are really, really evil, and they're insidious, and they're wrong. And so he says he's going to allow this Antichrist to break this covenant with them in the midst of the week for the overspreading of the abominations. And it says, and he shall make it desolate. In other words, he's going to make that Temple Mount desolate even until the consummation. And the consummation references for us the fact that Israel will finally be brought on board with God 100%. And then it says, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. In other words, there's going to be judgment going to be brought upon everyone who has been really cauterized. They've taken the mark of the beast. All of that is just to say this. There is a history and there is a future for Israel. All of that's there. It's laid out. The book of Revelation is that 70th week. It's broken into two halves, the 42 months, the 1260 days, a time, and half a times. All of these are clearly letting us know something that we didn't quite understand prior to the book of Revelation being written. There was a weeks of years prophecy, but we didn't really understand this until we got to the book of Revelation, where he began to really, really drill into it so we would not miss the point that there's going to be a specific timetable for the unfolding of the tribulation. And that's what we're seeing in this chapter. Now, when we were back earlier in the book, because he talked about at the end of chapter 8, when the trumpets were being blown, an angel came forth and said, woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, because there's going to be three woes that are yet determined. Two woes, one was the worst of the worst, were released from the abyss. They were literally going to intermingle with the humans on earth. The demons that are down there are going to be let loose. Everything you see in TV shows like Lucifer and The Exorcist and all of the horror stories that all have to do with crossing over into some other world and all of the books that are being written about seeing bright lights and all of this is trying to get us to the place where we're going to be very comfortable. Factor in all the alien movies and things like that. They're trying to get us very comfortable with something other than what we are seeing every day with the naked eye in this day and in age we live. But we're coming to the time where there's going to be a blending of that which is otherworldly with that which is worldly. And it has to happen. It has to happen because it happened before the flood. The Bible says in Genesis 6 that the sons of God saw the daughters of men and took them as their wives. And they had giants in the land in those days. And God had to turn the table over, put those demons into the chains and darkness for a season and a time until a time of judgment. And subsequently, he's going to unleash them. This is what's coming. The world doesn't know what they're flirting with. I mean, they can tweak and tweak and play and act like it's no big deal. But it has been recorded in recent days, an article I read not long ago, that millennials are turning away from God and they're turning to the occult. That's what's happening on a large level. Isn't that amazing? So they're getting very comfortable with the idea of the occult. They're getting very comfortable with the idea of something other worldly, okay? The metaphysical is intriguing to them. And subsequently, we have a problem. Now, those two woes that we saw in chapter 9 were made up of two different movements. One was the worst of the worst being released, and then there was the war over the water, which I maintained is something that is probably going to happen because it has to do with 200,000 men, which is 200 million men. There's going to be a lot of fighting going on there. It's a number that coincides a lot with what's going on with the Middle East and the Arabic world, and everybody's dependent on the Euphrates, so we saw the war over the water. We'll see if I'm right on that. And then subsequently, there was a parenthetical insert to the trumpets. Okay, everything stopped for a minute. And chapter 10 brought us the angel of the Lord coming down, and he's trying to get them to see who he is. And he comes into clearer focus, but still, he's not exactly revealed to them for who he is. Okay? He's got the scroll. He swears by him that there will be no time. There will be no more mysteries anymore. He's the one making the swearing. He's the one, I swear this is going to happen, because he's the one who's going to make it happen. Everything about him shows him to be the angel of the Lord that they knew in the Old Testament, but they still haven't quite got on board. We then saw the prophesying of the two witnesses, and subsequently we come to the seventh trumpet. After we saw the two witnesses killed and everybody rejoicing over it, verse 14, says, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes. So now you see where we are. Three woes, worst of the worst, war over the water, and now we're coming to the third woe. And this woe really is wrapped up in the dragon. It says the third woe comes quickly. Verse 15 says, and the seventh angel sounded. And so this is the seventh trumpet sounding of seven trumpets. Seven seals, seven trumpets, and it will give away literally the seven bowl judgments. However, it says the seventh angel sounded and there was great voices in heaven. So we've just jumped back up to heaven again. So right away we've got another parenthetical insert. So he gave us one parenthetical insert telling us what God was up to all that first 3.5 years. Now we're getting to the seventh trumpet, and now we're going to see what's going to happen with the last half of the tribulation. It's designated as the Great Tribulation. The Bible says there were great voices in heaven saying the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So what we have is some voices. There is a declaration, a speech, or a proclamation, if you will. And so the proclamation is that as soon as this was blown, as far as God's concerned, we're done. Now it's move the furniture around. You know, there's days when you get in your house and you say, I'm going to change things around a little bit. I'm going to clean out the junk drawer. We all have one of them, right? A junk drawer. Everything's in the junk drawer. If you've ever had to clean your junk drawer, you'd never imagine that as many things can get in that junk drawer as can get in there. You start pulling that out, the whole kitchen's blown up. You know, it's like, that's just a drawer. Well, that's what's kind of going to happen here in the next little while. For 3.5 years, the Lord is going to be literally, deliberately, miraculously moving in a powerful way to move the furniture around. So much so that when he's completely done, there's going to be no more mountains and there's going to be no more islands. That's in chapter 16 at the very end. No more mountains, no more islands. He's moving the furniture around. But he's also got a lot of people down here that are like little vermin. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where they've had roaches. I think probably most of us in this room have at one time seen that, because today, I don't know, everything's got all roach traps and we get in exterminators. But back in the day, you just had to deal with it on your own. We had one years ago when we first got married in 1983. We had a basement apartment and we had a roach that was in the works of the oven, and there's this little dial up here and a little glass thing over the dial and all that, and he was running. Every now and then he'd run through that little thing. We'd be like, oh man, you can't get to him. He's in there. We'd turn it up to full. Man, we got that baby up to broil and it would not die. That thing wouldn't die. They say in a nuclear explosion, the only thing that's going to last are roaches and Twinkies, I think it was. I don't know, but something's going to last through a nuclear explosion. But here we have that kind of thing going on, that like the roaches or all the lost people that have taken the mark of the beast are going to be having to be dealt with. But it's going to be a 3.5 year unfolding of God's movement toward taking it. It says he has taken it. It says the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord. Now this is in the aorist tense, which basically acts like a past tense, but it can also be used as a futuristic past. In other words, it's done. Okay, it's already been done, but it's yet future, okay? So it's an aorist tense. And what he's saying is he's telling us, this is a done deal. God has decreed it. It's what's going to happen. The seventh trumpet has blown, and now everything is going to be different from here on out. That's why I believe everything earlier in the first half of the tribulation is pretty much a natural unfolding of the consequences. The natural unfolding being that the seal judgments represented the Antichrist coming, death, war, famine, and then you have a great earthquake. Then you have all the trumpet judgments, and you're seeing water, and you're seeing the worst of the worst coming out. Just a lot of this stuff is what's naturally going to happen. You know, if you keep asking for something, God's going to give it to you. So you can just keep asking for the wrong, and you'll get the wrong. It'll destroy your life, but if you keep asking for it, he'll give it to you. And that's what's happening in our world. Our world is asking for the wrong. It's asking for the wrong. It's asking for God to leave. It's asking for the devil to reign. It's asking for sin to prevail. It's asking for wrong to be right and right to be made wrong. And it will come to that. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.